As we head up north, can anybody knock Sutton off the top of the title hill?
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. We are back once again with a preview this time round for Knock Hill, a weekend which we will be going to for the first time. And Russ joins me once again.
He always sounds so surprised what we're doing. It's a preview, it's a review, it's the driver grounds. I didn't know this was going to be happening.
It's exciting. Yes,
it's very exciting. It's the most animated I see all week, which is always great. Yeah, it is Knock Hill weekend, my second favourite track on the calendar. And we are going for the first time ever up north to Knock Hill. I cannot wait for this weekend. It's something that Knock Hill is my second favourite track, genuinely speaking. And I can't wait to get and see what it's like trackside and just experience the whole Knock Hill. It looks amazing on the telly. It looks so small. It looks so exciting. Can't wait to go and see all of that up close and personal on Sunday morning and afternoon.
So not just the distillery tour that we're going to go to on Saturday then?
We need to book that, but yes. That does help. No, it's good. We're going away. We're making a weekend of it. We're staying overnight on the Saturday to, reduce the amount of driving we've got to
do. And Sunday.
Yes, so we don't have to rush home, exactly.
Definitely not rushing home after that.
Exactly. So, no, it should be good. It should be a good weekend good action, good whiskey, good food. We've already found where we're eating dinner on the Saturday night, and we've got a cheese board for Sunday. What more could you want?
Excellent. Sounding very middle class there.
British Touring Car Pod, your middle class independent touring car podcast.
Oh, dear. So what can we expect from Knock Hill weekend? What is the track like, mate?
Well, as I say, it's my favourite track, second favourite track, rather, for the reason that it's just mental. It's a very short track, 1.27 miles, so on the shorter side. Race debut for the touring cars in 1992. You start off on a nice long start-finish line, which has elevation changes. Then you launch the car down Duffer's Dip, closing your eyes and try not to follow through into your trousers. Through Leslie's, up through McIntyre's, then it's Butcher's and the Black Circle chicane of the pointless sloppy marker. That is where they go onto two wheels and where I am astonished we don't see cars roll because of how much air they get. Then there's a short burst down to Clark's before the long back straight, slight kink through Hislop's, then the tight hairpin to finish off the lap. It's done before you even know it. The track records or the qualifying times and race times are well under a minute. Would you like to guess who has the qualifying lap record?
I'm going to go for Jake Hill because he was on pole last year and he was rapid here.
You'd be wrong. It's a good guess, but you'd be absolutely wrong.
It's normally a real-wheel drive favourite circuit. Is it Turkington?
It's not.
One more. Final guess would be Camish then.
No, Rory Butcher in 2019, which would have been in A. In 2019, would have been in A.
FK2?
Yeah, it would have been, wouldn't it? I think so.
I think so.
I should have probably known the answer before I put that to you. Yes. Possibly. Yes. Maybe.
That was the year he took the Independence title, wasn't it?
Yes. I'll say yes. Best race lap record?
I'd have to go BMW again.
Well, you'd be wrong again.
Oh, okay. Is it a Honda track? It's going to be a Honda track, isn't it?
No, not particularly. It's Ashley Sutton in 2020, which would have been in the Infiniti.
Yeah, they were really quick that year as well, weren't they? Because even Moffitt did well.
Yeah, I'm just double checking the Butcher's been a long day already. I'm trying to find Roy Butcher on the list of 2019 entrants, and now I can't find him because obviously I'm looking for him. There he is, and he was in the FK2. You're absolutely right. Well done to you.
I'm glad my knowledge isn't wasted.
Sometimes, not on this occasion.
So then, Knock Hill, biggest action zones?
As I said during my little ride along, it's that little section down Duffer's Dip and up back through the Black Circle chicane. We have seen action all round the track. Clarkson Hislop's is where Turkington dropped it under pressure from Sutton a couple of seasons ago. And I think Tom Ingram's had a couple of brown trouser moments through there as well over the years. So you can get that wrong and you can get yourself stuck in the gravel trap really quickly. But the main area is those first few corners, which come really quickly with big elevation changes. I say chucking yourself down Duffer's Dip, which looks steep on the telly, so I can't wait to see how steep that is on actual eyesight viewing. And then, as you say, coming through Butchers and back up through Black Circle's chicane, that's where you're going to see most of the action this weekend, I'd have thought. And also, of course, the hairpin. There's always people trying to set up a move to get the best overlap for the long start finish straight. And of course, as you mentioned before, BMW's nice traction zones come out of the hairpin to try and make the most of getting that uphill speed. But of course, the rear-wheel drive element is sometimes and fairly often counteracted by the fact that it is Scotland. It is likely to be raining, and that's the case this weekend.
Yeah, it looks like a 50-50 on whether it's going to rain this weekend. So I'm not holding out too much hope, although I have done for every round so far. We're looking sort of like ranging from 50 down to 30% chance of rain throughout the whole day on Sunday. I think there might be showers passing through, which will make it interesting because we could get a mix of going from wet to dry or dry to wet conditions throughout a race, which in a pit lane that tight at Knock Hill can possibly lead to disaster, certainly for some strategies.
Absolutely. And it's worth pointing out that on the Saturday, there is a top 10 shootout format this weekend for the qualifying. So you'll have the normal 20 minutes, 20 or 30, 20, isn't it?
It's 25 minutes followed by a 10-minute shootout. Looks like there's going to be a higher chance of rain on that Saturday as well, about 70% chance.
That can make qualifying very interesting indeed. And then the top 10 fastest go through and set, like in F1, a shootout for pole position, which should be very interesting to see, particularly if the rain does affect either of those sessions, because 10 minutes will go quickly, even at a track like Knock Hill.
Yeah, very much so. Normally in those sort of sessions, BMWs have the advantage, not having to switch their tyres around to get them turned on. However, if you introduce rain into the mix, then I think all drivers will just keep on running in the session, trying to find the best conditions at the best time.
Agreed. So coming into the weekend, Ashley Sutton leads the championship charge from Tom Ingram. Sutton goes pretty well at Knock Hill, generally speaking. Last season, a second, a first and a fifth. That was, of course, in the same car he's running now. Tom Ingram behind him got a sixth, a fourth and a twelfth. So not his most favourite circuit, it would appear, in the Hyundai. Jake Hill, as you mentioned, was rapid last year. He got a first. A second and a second. A really good weekend for him last time out. And Colin Turkington, who's still just about in the championship hunt, got a third and a fourth. So it does lean towards the BMWs a little bit. If you're looking at the Scottish compatriots for the weekend, Rory Butcher last year got an eighth, a sixth and a third. Then we had Aidan Moffat, who had a 13th,
12th and a 10th, which was a good run out for him last season.
And of course, we didn't have Pearson, but we did have Patterson, who got points here last year. He got a 20th, a 14th and a retirement. So that's the four Scottish drivers covered off. What are you expecting to see this weekend, generally speaking?
It's really difficult to look past the Fords at the moment.
Really?
Yeah, they just seem to be winning most things, certainly being on the podium near enough every single time. And I'd be slightly amazed if they don't get pole position again this weekend, especially if there's going to be wet conditions, because I think that levels out the performance between the front and the rear-wheel drive. So we could quite easily see maybe Sutton or Cavendish, possibly even Rowbottom, looking to be all fighting towards that pole position. Of course, Jake Hill goes well, as does Colin Turkington. I think Ingram will be sitting there or thereabouts. I don't think he's going to set a world alight this weekend. I think he's just going to look for more consistency and not letting those other championship hopefuls get too far away from him.
Hill is arguably the better of the BMW drivers in the rain.
That
is something to bear in mind. I think that you're right. It's difficult to bet against Napa and the Fords, and particularly Sutton at the minute, but I think it is a BMW track overall. Sutton gets results wherever he goes and whatever he's in. but I think otherwise it is a BMW circuit. And also Jake Hill's got a little bit of a point to prove this weekend after a disappointing Croft, own errors costing him and possibly costing his championship hunt. I think he will be determined to try and put as much of that right this weekend as possible, which, yeah.
I think the midfield battle is going to be more difficult to call. And when I say midfield, I mean in Toyota, Honda, the Cupras, the Astras. I'm not sure who's going to be the quickest out of those. I'd like to think possibly Toyota. They normally seem to go fairly well here, especially being Butcher's home circuit. But One Motorsport had a turn up in form at the last round. Could they push on? We'll see.
They did. And Barry Plowman is obviously back in that team, as we mentioned last time out. It'd be interesting to see if that's just a coincidence that the Croft results in his return. But if they get another good weekend here, I think you've got to start putting one and one together and suggest that he's having that impact.
Nice pun.
Obviously, we don't... Thank you. We don't know whether Nick Hamilton will be going north of the border. Obviously, he missed Croft due to reasons that haven't been fully divulged. We suspect financial, but we're not sure. And he has got, I think, a history of missing Knockhill. It's a long way to go. It's expensive to get there with fuels and lorries and hotels, etc., etc.
He's also been missed out of the Team Hard promotional stuff for this weekend. All five other drivers are on that promotion apart from him. I don't know whether that's just a coincidence or whether that is erring towards the fact that he might not be there this weekend.
Agreed. And apologies for any noise in the background, ladies and gentlemen. Teddy has entered the room again and decided that now is the time to dig the bed apart that's behind me. So, hey, Ted, thanks very much for listening. Exactly. He's been missed off the photograph for Hard, which I think speaks a thousand words.
It does.
I hope it's not the last we've seen of him for the season, but I've got a sneaking suspicion it might be, unfortunately. We know budgets in Hard is an issue at the best of times, and given the problems they've had with Edwards, albeit that it was a fairly mutual disbanding. Bye, Ted. And then also losing Thompson. I don't know. If things don't feel right at Hard at the minute.
No, they certainly don't. Looking towards the Jack Sears then this weekend, obviously PMR are leading the way. This will be their 250th race this weekend as a team. Are we expecting to see them push on a little bit in the Jack Sears, or are you expecting Osborne, Patterson, possibly even Pearson come fighting back this weekend?
No, PMR are my bet for the Jack Sears this weekend. I think that Osborne will be, shall we say, get perhaps a little bit lost in the pack, i.e. caught up in incidents potentially. Mm-hmm. It's a very tight, narrow circuit, and I'm not fully convinced on his racecraft as of yet. He's had some really good flashes this season, and this has definitely been his strongest season in the touring cars by a country mile.
Yeah.
But we still have seen him get penalties or seen him get caught up in incidents where he's not quite got it right this season. Mm. And if you do that at Knockhill, you can be off in the gravel and that's your race done. So I think that could be his undoing this weekend. Whereas with Doble and Watson, I see a much more, I don't want to use the term reserved, but a more
refined
risk-based driving.
Yeah.
Risk and reward style driving.
It seems very much cut out the same mould as Ingram. In my mind, is that he'll take the chances where he can get them, but when he needs to sit back and just go, look, hey, I'm finishing the race, I know for the Jack Sears to finish a race is much better than trying to go all out and then not finish. I kind of see that attitude more from those PMR drivers.
I agree. I think it's worth pointing out that they're under complete different pressures than Osborne. Yeah. Osborne is in a team with a three-time champion, a would-have-been champion but for two corners and a brake failure, and a pretty exciting young driver in Robot, who's not the finished article yet, but he's certainly improving race upon race, year upon year. And he's in a team with a car that, by all accounts, is the best on the grid. Mm. It's almost the Perez situation in F1, though not quite as vast. But
yeah.
You know, he's got three really good people to compare himself against. He's under a bit more pressure than Doble and Watson, who, to be honest, would have come into the season as rookies with very little pressure on their shoulders. I don't think PMR would have expected to have both drivers in the Jack Sears battle at this stage of the season. Honestly, I don't think they would have thought that coming into the season. What were the questions about the car and the fact that Watson and Doble are completely new to this style of racing as well?
And the fact that they've taken on that third car for this season, we've seen how Team Hard have taken on extra cars, and it seems to have gone the other way for them. We were very sceptical at the start of the season about it, weren't we?
Yeah, so I think that it's fair to say that both Doble and Watson are probably exceeding all expectations at PMR this season, which is great.
Yeah.
But also that means that they've not got the same pressures as Osborne and therefore can have that sort of,
comfort. They've got something to lay back on.
Yeah, still can't think of the word, but we'll be here all night. Yeah, that luxury of not being, there we go. Oh, it's like, whose line is it anyway? But yeah, they've got that luxury of not having that same pressure. But I do think that this weekend they will be the cars to watch in a Jack Sears situation. Regarding Toyota, I need to mention them every podcast because I tipped Butcher for the title at the start of this season as a dark horse, which you keep mocking me for. Is this the weekend that they might do something, do you think? Or just too hard to know?
I think they're a little bit difficult to read at the moment. Yes, Butcher knows the track like the back of his hand. He's almost certain to go quicker than he has done this season, possibly. And he seems to get better throughout a season, we've found in recent years. And it normally starts from Knockhill onwards. So I think we might see a little upturn in form, might see a bit more consistency. I honestly think for them, consistency for Butcher and Collard, finishing all three races inside the top 10, maybe top 12, it is almost like a step forward for them.
Can I be even more controversial? All three cars just finishing a race. Doesn't necessarily matter where they are. Just all three cars finishing a race without a gremlin, without a technical issue, without having to drive through the pit lane for something. You know, that would be quite a step forward at the minute.
George Gamble obviously took the third win last season here. Had a very good outing, but he was in a BMW. We knew the BMW was going to go well here. It'll be very interesting to see, one, how he adapts, two, whether it's just a favourite circuit of his and he goes well here anyway. And I think that'll be tested against where his teammates are going to finish as well.
Is there anybody else to discuss before we look at predictions? Anybody else you would like to discuss? Team or driver or team member?
You say Patterson obviously scored points here last season. I think he'll feel comfortable being back at home, as it were. I think all Scottish drivers will probably have a slight upturn in their form, including Pearson, who has certainly been struggling at points this season. It'll be interesting to see how they finish and whether they'll be more inclined to go for moves, having that home support, or whether they just want to finish all three races solidly. So I think all four Scots are ones to look out for.
Yeah, and I think Patterson will score points. He tends to score points in at least one of the races over a race weekend, doesn't he? So I think he will probably score points. Yeah. It's hard to get excited about hard at the minute, if you'll pardon the pun. I don't know. The news about the Thompson departure has deflated me in a way that I've not felt in motorsport for a long time. And I've still got the hangover of it some, you know, weeks later. I don't know. I don't know what to say about Hard because I want them to succeed. And there's drivers on their books there who are A, either really good already, look at Lloyd, or have got great potential. And you just wonder, you know, where are they going to end up?
Especially what they've done for the sport as well. The amount of drivers that they've bedded in, tried to make work. Some have worked perfectly well and have gone on to race in bigger and better teams. Some haven't. You get that when you're trying out new drivers, bringing them into the sport. But you don't normally see teams like Dynamics, you wouldn't have seen do it. BMW wouldn't have necessarily bring through these young and up-and-coming drivers. And they do good for the sport, but this year it feels like they've just taken on a little bit too much.
I'm going to challenge you on something there then, and feel free to pause the recording so you can look it up. Yep. So I have just sprung it on you. Name me a driver that's come through hard that's gone on to bigger and better things.
Jake Hill.
Because I was thinking about this. Okay, fair enough. I think he came through hard.
He's the first one that comes to my mind that has gone through that hard regime, as it were, an academy. Yes, he didn't spend long there, but he moved on fairly quickly and has certainly gone on to bigger and better things in my mind.
I'll be honest, I completely forgot that Jake Hill was at Team Hard for any particular point of time. So yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, okay. Because I'm just looking at a list now. Here's noted jives on the Wikipedia page, okay?
Yeah.
So Bobby Thompson hasn't had a chance to move on anywhere. Hopefully he will in the summer.
But that's more down to budgetary issues for him. Hill, we know, has a solid backing from his dad being in racing.
Yeah, but Thompson's got a sponsorship as well. But let's not go down the rabbit hole again. Jack Goff, who they had at the, you say, peak of his career, they didn't make him. He'd already made himself at this point.
Yeah.
Michael Kreese has gone on to race other things, but I wouldn't say has necessarily succeeded in other things because of the fact that he's not lasted in them particularly long. That might be harsh, but, you know. Carl Bordley, you could argue he's doing really well in TCR at the moment, couldn't you, to be fair?
Yep.
So it's your opinion whether TCR is a bigger or better thing than touring cars. But I think that's fair that they have. He has succeeded. Jade Edwards is a noted driver on the hard list, though I think that it's unfair to particularly attribute her rise in touring cars to hard, personally.
I think that's very much self-made on her side. She's had to work very hard to get to where she has, possibly harder than a lot of other drivers as well.
Agreed. Michael Epps, has he gone to TCR?
No, I think he's more of a driver coach nowadays.
Okay. Max Coates has never really made it in any... It sounds really harsh to say it like that, but has never really made it at the top level of any of the motorsport, has he? He's sort of been around a lot of them. But
he's done a lot of support series.
But not really won any of them either, has he?
No.
Yeah, he's not particularly kicked on. And then the other names on the list, Nick Hamilton, who can't seem to finish a season for reasons we don't know. And then Mike Bushell being the other one, who, again, I'd argue is now more of an engineer. And they probably had him at the height of it. They didn't make him particularly.
No.
So, I don't know. I don't want to challenge you completely. But looking at the list, there's only really... You mentioned Jake Hill. Yeah, fair point. I can't argue with that. That's the only one, really, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they bring drivers into the sport. Some of them...
They do.
They give the drivers the opportunity to show their talent as well. I don't think I was quite expecting the same showing that we got from Daryl DeLeon last weekend. And I was pleasantly surprised by it. And if he goes on and if he's allowed to gain the budgets that he needs, work on the sponsorship deals that he needs to behind the scenes and move on to bigger and better things, then all credit to the work that he does... but also hard for bringing in that scholarship scheme.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't want to do down. It's just I do worry about whether drivers are able to stay at hard long enough to make enough of a name to then go on and achieve in the sport.
Yes.
Jake Hill aside. That's my concern. Anyway, this is a Knockhill preview podcast, not What Is Wrong With Team Hard. So let's move straight on to predictions for the weekend.
Yep.
Who are you going for, Paul?
I'm going for the classic old Ashley Sutton. I just Agreed. Think in those wet conditions that we're probably likely to have on the Saturday, he's going to be quick. And there might be a little bit of redemption wanted after, obviously, that non-finish at Croft as well.
But please do bear in mind, Sammy, only has 1 second of hybrid, so that might make a difference.
Absolutely crucial around Knockhill.
Agreed. Yeah, I've also gone for Sutton for pole. Napa are taking pole every week and every round this year, I reckon. So, yeah, let's go for Sutton.
Yeah, that's fair, that's fair. What winners have you got?
Sutton, obviously.
Yep.
Jake Hill and Colin Turkington. I've gone for three big names because I think that Turkington will probably win a reverse grid race in the sort of fashion he's been doing this season.
Yep.
And Hill and Sutton will fight out up top for the first two races.
Okay.
Is my prediction.
Yeah, I've gone for Sutton as well. Also Hill, just because of how quick he was here last season. And I think even in wet conditions, as you say, gets the best out of that BMW. But also I've gone for Camish. Because I think Napa's are just quick, and Camish had a good almost ego boost last weekend with how well he did. Yes, he wasn't on the optimum tyre in race two, and he settled for that. But I think he might take a win this time out.
Still in the championship fight for you?
It's close. I'm being hopeful, okay?
For audio viewers, you cannot see the despair on my face. However, for YouTube viewers, you probably can and are horrified. Right, Jack Sears for the weekend then, good sir.
I'm going to go for Watson this weekend. Mm-hmm. As you say, PMR seemed to be fairly strong at the moment when it comes to taking Jack Sears victories, and it was a little bit of a toss-up between him and Doble. I know Doble, I think, has taken two overall wins this season to Watson's one. But I think Watson might have a bit of it this weekend.
That's fair enough. I've gone for Doble for pretty much exactly the same reasons as you have stated and we've discussed in the main pod. Yeah, it's a coin toss. I think it's PMR and I think it could go either way. So
cue the review on Wednesday or whenever it'll come out that Osborne wins or Pearson wins.
I think Osborne is always a safe bet, but as I said in the bulk of the pod, I don't necessarily trust that he won't be caught up in something. So,
yep, completely agree on that. Okay, we've got three general predictions as always. Your first one, mate.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Scott will make the podium.
Oh, okay. Podium's a bold choice, I think, considering the cars that we've got up there.
Butcher.
You're hinging on one prospect there.
If it rains, Moffat
could shuffle about.
Moffat could get a podium here quite easily if the car works, particularly in race three. And if it rains, halfway through a race, and one of the Scots drivers, i.e., Patterson or even Pearson, go wet early, Donington.
Yeah,
you don't know, do you?
No, that's fair. So I will kind of match you on that. I think there will be a Scott to finish inside the top 10. I know it's a little bit safer than yours, and I'm hoping for Butcher to have a decent enough weekend and take me home that point quite early.
Fair enough. I've also gone for PMR will outscore Hard.
Okay, so is this all three against all six? Or five? Depending how many we've got.
All three of the PMR boys against however many of Hard's turn up. it's like a football meet, isn't it? It's like a hooligan football meet.
Yes, yeah. I can probably see that happening. It just depends whether we see maybe Kreese or Lloyd, if they get into the top 10, might put it at slight risk. But that also depends on how well Aaron Taylor-Smith does.
But Taylor-Smith is doing pretty consistently well this season. I would say he's having a more consistent season than Lloyd, who is going to be Hard's top scorer. You'd have thought,
yeah. So you might see this as a little bit of a cop-out, but we haven't seen many safety cars this year.
No, we haven't, to be fair, because it's been incredibly boring. So
I think we're going to see a safety car this weekend. Knowing how many gravel traps there are. Go on.
To clarify, this is in the touring car race, because I think we will see a safety car over the weekend, either sat in the pits and we go for a walk, or, well, because you're behind, I know you're going to use any loophole can, so we'll be walking down the paddock and go, look, there's a safety car.
I don't sound like that. the safety car will be used in one of the three BTCC races. It may be used more than once.
And again, to close all loopholes, and we're not talking about the formation lap, we're talking
during the race.
I'm just closing off every possible loophole so you can't find a way to...
I know I made the points, but...
And you're one of the most competitive people I know, so if there's any loophole you can find, you will find it. I've got to use the legal head, mate.
Okay, fair enough. Your third one.
My third one is that the BMW, ABMW, will be on a podium each race.
Okay. Yeah, I can possibly see that happening. The only thing
BMW
that I
circuit
worry about is race three, I think, for you.
No, because I think Morgan is the possibility for race three, depending on how the rest of his weekend goes. And I also think Turkson will win race three, given the fact I think he'll go for a reverse grid win. So, yeah, I think the podiums will be Hill and Turkington, but I wouldn't be shocked if Morgan, or even Jelly, if he's having a good day, gets that third podium. It's not beyond the realms possibility. It's a BMW track. as long as one of them doesn't collide with Nick Hamilton on the pit wall, a la Tom Oliphant a couple of seasons ago.
Yes, that was a fairly hefty impact, wasn't it, on pit straight. My third one is slightly bold, I think. Staying with the Scottish theme this weekend, I think Patterson will be the top-scoring hard driver. Now, I know that might seem a little bit strange, but as we've said, we think he might score points this weekend, and all it takes is for some incidents or some gremlins for Lloyd and possibly Kreese, and that could quite easily come to fruition.
I would agree with you. Fair enough. And the final one, we play a game every weekend. This weekend we're going to be counting Scottish flags whilst we're out and about walking around Knock Hill.
Yep.
You've gone for how many?
I've gone for 8, but I might just up that slightly.
Well, you've got until the podcast goes out to do so.
I'm going
to
up that to 11.
Okay, I've gone for 15.
Because I assume you're going to count the ones that are on top of that are on the cars that we may see as well.
I think any flag counts, wherever it is. Okay. Unless it's painted onto somebody's face or something that somebody else is wearing, like Scottish football tops. Yep. I think otherwise, a flag on a helmet, on a car.
Yep.
That all counts.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, we'll go for that then.
All right, I'll go for 15. Right, that, I think, ends the Knock Hill preview and Team Hard deep dive, which we have put in completely off the cuff. Is there anything else you would like to say ahead of the weekend's action?
For YouTube viewers only, or those who listen on the audio form and want to go across to YouTube, we will be doing a vlog for this weekend. So
Hopefully. No, we've had problems with technology this week already. Let's not overpromise. Let's say hopefully and keep everybody on their toes.
Yes, all being well, there will be a vlog from this weekend showing our trip up there and our experience of taking in the Scottish Highlands of Knock Hill. Just go over there, get subscribed, get the bell on. We'll obviously have the review coming out midway through next week, being possibly delayed coming back. We're looking forward to a good weekend. I'm going to pack my wet gear because I've been talking about rain all season, and Knock Hill is probably the most likely time we're going to get it. How about you?
Wrap up warm if you're going. If you are going, we will be north of the border and completely out of our usual comfort zone, so come and say hi and all that kind of stuff. Remember,
yep,
whoever comes and finds me, tells you what car I have, is entitled to a sweetie, as per the 10-minute with podcast or video some weeks ago. I'm really looking forward to the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's always better when you're there than when you're watching a dull race unfold on the telly. So I think it'll be better for us going this weekend. Hopefully some good action, hopefully a good mix of weather. And if nothing else, we've got whiskey, so that's good.
Do you know what's going to add to it? Just the final thing. We've got legends this weekend, the same small little rat rods that we had at Croft, and in the wet weather they were awesome to watch. So I think we're going to have plenty of entertainment from them this weekend.
Absolutely. Anything else?
No, that is all done from me, mate.
Excellent. Remember to ring the bell, get subscribed, and if you see us, come say hi. There's only one more thing left to do. Bye!